I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and the inspiration you need to start and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
And this is episode 25.
Ooh.
25 episodes, Griff.
Ooh.
Our little podcast is growing up so quickly.
I know, it sure is, Audrey. Soon it'll be asking for the car keys and debating the finer points of distinction between various IPA beers, bespoke flannel shirts that don't require tucking, and other hipster-like proclivities.
Proclivities?
Mm-hmm.
What are you, Queen Victoria?
We are not amused.
So mannered and erudite.
Nah, I'm just a bit of a show-off. Say, if you haven't heard older episodes of Selling on eBay, you should set aside some time to listen to them, after you listen to this one, of course, because the information they contain about selling on eBay is always relevant.
Always.
Always. So, Audrey, every episode on our podcast has a theme. What's this week's theme?
This week's theme is traffic, eyeballs, and impressions. What does it all mean?
A great theme to explore if I do say so myself.
Absolutely. So who do you have for us this week on the main story?
Well, our first guest is Scott Brown of Adorama. He has a big brick and mortar business selling electronics and photography equipment, and he also sells on eBay. Scott will talk about how he manages inventory based on his business metrics, term we use a lot here. And what do you have for this week on the Inside eBay segment, Audrey?
We'll be speaking with an eBay UK colleague, Julia Harrison, about buyer traffic. Mm. Julia works on this team that manages Seller Hub. She'll take us along on a deep dive into the traffic section of the Seller Hub page and show us what it all means and how the data uncovered there can help drive changes to your business and inventory practices. And we also have an email from a seller.
Oh, good. All that and so much more, like, well, a segment on What's Hot. But coming up, Audrey, before we do anything else, it's you and Alan with
The Buzz.
Hey, Alan, welcome back to The Buzz.
Hello, Audrey. Welcome to The Buzz.
Hello. Okay, so today we have Alan,
hey. But
we also have the Peanut Gallery, which
Yay!
Is Griff and Doug.
Hello.
So Alan and I are going to attempt to get through this, and then the Peanut Gallery will chime in.
No, we'll keep it. It's just commentary. It's kibitzing. It's the Greek chorus.
Right. Okay. Right. Ready? Okay, Alan, what do you have for us this week?
Well, this week we're going to talk about drop shipping.
Ooh, that's a touchy subject, isn't it?
It can be a touchy subject, but it doesn't need to be. We're working to clarify what it is, how it works, and what is and isn't allowed in terms of drop shipping.
Okay. So for those that don't know, tell us exactly what drop shipping is.
Drop shipping, also known as product sourcing, is a way of selling eBay items on eBay without ever handling the items yourself. Drop shipping is when you buy from a supplier and work with them to send items directly to the buyer.
Okay, so with drop shipping, what is the seller responsible for?
The seller is responsible for the safe delivery of the item within the time frame stated in the listing and the buyer's overall satisfaction with their purchase.
Okay. And let's clarify what's allowed and what's not allowed.
Sure. Yeah. Fulfilling orders directly from a wholesale supplier is allowed, but listing an item on eBay and then purchasing the item from another retailer or marketplace that ships directly to your customer is definitely not permitted.
Aha. Mm-hmm. The old, I bought from eBay, but it showed up in a competitor's box.
Yeah, no one likes that.
With the A with the smirk.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about here. That instance is not allowed.
Right. But there's not the only one, right? W.
Or their marketplace.
Or the P or the
right.
E. Or, yeah, it can be a lot of things.
Right? All I know is eBay.
Is arbitrage just that one? Or does that refer to all of them?
No, you can't really use the word arbitrage for this because it could be arbitrage can be perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. French word.
So I go to Big Lots and I see a liquidation sale on a bunch of products.
Okay.
And I buy them and then I bring them home and I sell them. That's arbitrage, but that's not drop shipping. It's a different thing.
And that's totally legit. Arbitrage
totally,
is totally
yeah.
legit.
So, Doug, thank you for muddying the waters.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Good one. Thanks for your contribution.
Glad I could chime in.
Great.
Good thing I came up.
Yeah, good yeah. idea with the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get back to dropshipping.
Mm-hmm.
Sellers really need to be aware of the guidelines. And Alan, what could happen if they don't follow the guides?
Well, if sellers violate the dropshipping guidelines, eBay may limit, restrict, or suspend them from buying, selling, or using site features. Listings may be removed, displayed lower, or not shown in search results without refunding any or all applicable fees. Sellers may also forfeit special account statuses and discounts.
Yikes. Okay. Mm. So what if there's an issue where a seller thinks they haven't violated the dropshipping guidelines?
Well, the good news is that we have a fantastic customer service team, and our sellers should contact eBay customer service. They can get to them by going to ebay.com/help.
And where can sellers get more information?
Yeah, we've also set up a help page that details all of this information. So sellers, if you're interested, go and learn more and read up on the policy. And that is contained in the podcast description.
Yep. So go to our podcast page and look for the link there. Thank you, Alan. Mm-hmm. So to reiterate, if there are any questions or issues, just reach out to customer service via help@ebay.com/help or on Facebook. Alan, what else do you have for us today?
Well, Audrey, I want to know if you're a football fan.
American football?
Are you gonna talk about football?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to go to sleep. Wake me when you're done with this part.
When you say football, do you mean American football or soccer?
Oh, what's that noise?
That's Griff snoring.
Okay. Give him a blanket. He looks cold.
Yeah. His quilt's over here in the corner.
Okay, back to the show. Well, good answer. I'm impressed. In terms of soccer, I'm a Manchester United fan, and I actually just got into football over the last year following the Chargers with our co-worker, Doug. And I notice it's the Chargers, not the LA Chargers. They moved to LA, and that's a sore spot for Doug.
Yeah,
he believes they should have stayed.
Is your heart broken, Doug?
It was difficult. Yeah. I'm not angry with the team. I'm angry with the owners.
But it's the Chargers.
You're not mad at the team. You're mad at the dirt.
That's right. Okay. I'm disappointed.
He's actually saving up all of his eBay salary in the hopes of buying the Chargers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
So another couple hundred years, maybe.
I'll still be here, I hope.
In 3,020.
Let's go to Vegas and put
that's
it one.
Okay, I know you're not going to believe this. I'm going to try to get us back on topic. So how does this relate to what you mentioned at the top?
StubHub.
Right? Oh, yes.
We all know and love StubHub.
Yes.
It's where we get our tickets. And I want to talk about StubHub has recently launched a really cool Super Bowl tie-in.
Did you know that we can say Super Bowl, but we can't print it or use it in an ad?
Mm.
So when we want to do marketing around the Super Bowl, we have to say...
Really?
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm. We have to say something like, the big game. It's copyrighted by the NFL, the National Football League.
What if you spelt it S-O-O-P-E-R Bowl? Super Bowl.
Or Superb Owl. So I've seen people like, look at this superb owl.
Who?
Yeah, an owl. O-W-L.
Superb owl.
Who?
Or super bowel, which I have, by the way.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
I'm not.
Okay, so what's going on with StubHub?
Back to StubHub. They've launched an exclusive tailgate and 3D ticket buying experience ahead of the big game.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Well, are you going to buy tickets?
Yeah, right. Good luck.
You can use Doug's savings.
Right.
With every Super Bowl ticket purchase.
I think it's going well.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm editing all this out.
No.
Audrey seems skeptical.
With every Super Bowl ticket purchase on StubHub, there is an on-site pregame fan event ticket included called the ATL Tailgate, and also a new 3D ticket buying experience that takes people inside the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to give them a look at the view they can expect to see from their selected seats.
I have used this feature on StubHub.
Hmm.
I buy San Jose Sharks tickets on StubHub, and I use the virtual reality feature to see the view of the rink. Right?
Well, like, I did that once. They wanted me to go to a hockey game. I said, look for a seat that has a column in front of it.
So you're a big hockey fan.
You can rest your head. Take a nap. It kind of depresses me, though, when I look at it, because I can only afford seats in the back row. So you're like, even before you go, you're disappointed.
Exactly.
they had told Griff it was the Ice Capades. So
that's how
they got him there.
Yeah, I was so disappointed.
Dorothy Hamill would be skating.
I said, which Disney characters are these? I don't recognize any of these people. Why are they fighting?
He thought it was the Disney Princess Ice Tour.
I was signing up.
So why not have a 3D VR The Big Game experience?
Where? In my house?
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe next year. By the way, among the perks ticket buyers can anticipate when using StubHub for the big weekend are a complimentary ticket to StubHub's ATL Tailgate. I just learned that's Atlanta.
Yep.
Pre-game fan event with the NFL legends, tailgate food, snacks and beverage and games and more. Fans also get 15% off an eBay purchase with each order. And StubHub's guaranteed that every ticket is 100% valid or you'll receive a full money replacement to the equal or better value.
Wow, that's quite a package. Maybe get into football.
There's also a musical party with Shaq.
As in Shaquille O'Neal?
Shaquille O'Neal, that Shaq.
A what kind of party?
A music party, a party.
Well,
with musical music accompaniment.
Oh. Music dancing party.
Okay. I go for that.
Are you a Shaq fan?
I like him. He's funny.
Anything else this week, Alan?
No, unfortunately not. That's all I have to share. But I'll be back next week.
Yay. Okay, thank you, Alan. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
That's all the news that fits. Thanks for having me, Audrey.
All right, coming up next, the main story.
Welcome to the main story. Today, we're going to talk with Scott Brown. He works at Adorama, and he has a job that is very interesting. Welcome, Scott.
Glad to be here, Griff.
So tell us about Adorama.
Well, the company has been around for 35 years. It started out as a small little camera store in New York City. And like most companies, as film disappeared and everything became digital, we branched out into digital cameras and then computers, memory cards, editing software, and so on and so forth. We also branched into other directions as well. Since the same manufacturers who make lenses also make rifle scopes, we kind of moved into a law enforcement area as well.
Full disclosure, Scott and Adorama sell on eBay and many other marketplaces. And I have to also disclose that I've bought a lot of stuff from Adorama.
Thank you very much.
You sell a lot of equipment and you sell not just on one channel like eBay. What are some of the other channels you sell on?
Let's see, eBay, Amazon, Newegg, Rakuten, Walmart, Flex Shopper.
You must have a huge team to help you with that task.
At this point in time, I'm kind of in charge of all of that by myself. And that's basically to do with compliance. However, behind the team is all the programmers that are involved in doing that. We've decided not to use a company like Channel Advisor to manage that for us. We decided to write all the APIs direct. So we've written all the software to go to each one of the platforms directly.
Do you actually do the listing and the photography, or somebody else do that?
Well, the good part there is the majority of the items that we carry we're authorized dealers for. So we have access to the manufacturer's image directories, and we're allowed to use their copyright. We do have 9 of our own house brands, so to speak, and we do have internal photographers that take care of the content and photography for that.
We've been talking a lot with our sellers about the tools that eBay provides to help them manage their inventory based on their sales and traffic. So I want to look at metrics first. I'm assuming that your business tracks their business metrics on a regular basis. What are some of the key metrics you track in your business?
As the world is coming to 2-day delivery, which is what we stand at now, but ultimately 1 day or same day as the earliest, the question is how do we get our merchandise? How do we make sure we have enough of it? How do we get it to the locations that we have to get it delivered to in a 1-day period? So the inventory has to be in the proper locations, so on and so forth. So yeah, it's a very big undertaking to do that. In the old days, we would just buy 30,000 printers, bring them all in, clutter up our entire warehouse with that, and then we would sell them over time. We really can't work that way anymore.
So how do you do this? Do you distribute the products across the country in different warehouses?
So at this point, we are a single location East Coast seller. We do have 1 distribution center in New Jersey that ships all over the country. We are now actually in the process. We just came back with the case study with UPS and with FedEx, where the best location would be for a second warehouse that would get the most number of people within a 2-day ground. So the question now becomes third-party logistics, or what else can we do to solve that problem?
Exactly. The industry as a whole is moving towards faster and faster delivery, pushed by big marketplaces, I assume, but it's ultimately customer demand.
It is. And we run these reports all the time, but 16.5% of all of our sales are to California. And that's ridiculous if you think about we're having to ship everything to California. That's a 5-day ground, UPS anyways, 4-day ground, depending on where you are. We need to get it there quicker, especially with eBay's metrics, by the way.
Yeah.
eBay's metrics is now going to start showing customers the seller that is closest, even if the price is a few dollars higher, because it's a better customer experience. So eBay's doing that, and other marketplaces will slowly catch up. So we have to figure out how to solve that problem. Opening the West Coast warehouse is actually worth it for us, because we're going to get West Coast and Texas, which is another one of the big numbers in one area. And then we have to figure out how to do Florida and Chicago.
When it comes to metrics that you use for tracking your business, what metrics do you track?
Everything under the sun we track. So we start with our sales data. We know where the customer is by origin zip code and destination zip code. And by the way, the metrics that we ran to find out where the best place would be and whether we could afford it or not, we figured out how much money we paid in second day air shipping fees to California. And just that money alone in the upgraded shipping fees to get things there in 2 days told us that we could actually buy a warehouse and staff it for a year. And that's basically all the money we spent, not just on eBay second day air and other things that we're offering free second day air on, but Amazon Prime as well.
So the goal will be to actually get parcels faster to the customers and cost the business less in shipping.
Correct. That's the whole thing we've been trying to work on with eBay over the past few years also. eBay has only a certain couple of carriers in their calculated systems. Mm-hmm. So if I want to use calculated shipping, I have UPS and FedEx for domestic, and I have only UPS and Postal Service for export. We needed to find a cheaper free shipping method. So we're using things like Mail Innovations, SurePost, FedEx SmartPost. And you didn't really have calculators for those cheaper carriers. Mm-hmm. So we were actually, in a way, lying to the customer by selecting USPS Parcel Select, and we're shipping it with Mail Innovation. So they're still getting a USPS tracking number, but they're not really getting the right information in it. We figured that wasn't going to hurt the customers any, because as long as it's trackable, that's really all they care about. But we would like to, for you guys to have that rate chart built into your system so it would calculate correctly and the customer would see it correctly.
What do you do when you find that maybe a product line, or if it's a timeline, there's a period of time where sales dipped a little bit? Sellers on eBay talk about this all the time. You know, oh, my sales are down. What do I do? What do you do if you're faced that challenge?
We use your data to help us on our own website. Yeah. And we use our own website's data to help build a keyword file for the marketplaces. So, for example, I get an SEO file every week on what the top keywords are that were searched for on our website. And then I make sure that those keywords are added to the keyword section on your platform. Ah. So that it helps elevate the item in search.
When we're talking about numbers or metrics, how often do you look at your business data? Is it daily, hourly, weekly, monthly?
I look at it every Sunday. It's the only day I have to sit down and actually look at raw data and run through it. I used to try to compare before eBay bought Terapeak. I was actually able to look at my competitors, mm-hmm. and what their sales data was from your platform. And I would download that into an Excel spreadsheet. And I didn't really care about their actual dollars. I just wanted to look at the trends. So if everyone's going up and we're going down, I had to go figure out what the problem was. As long as the numbers were kind of all in the same direction, everyone's going up and down little bit by little bit, and we're all even keel, I know that the market's working properly.
When you find an anomaly where the trend is trending downward for a product or product line, what kind of action do you take? Is there a next step besides panicking?
The truth is, every single item has its ups and downs. Some items sell better on your platform, and we can't figure out for the life of me why something would sell better on a different platform. It's the same product. Everyone's looking for it. Everyone's advertising it. Why is it selling better on one platform than another? We can't answer that. I've been trying to figure that out for 5 years. I'll give you a simple example.
Sure.
A couple of years ago, one of my senior guys called me up the second week in December and goes, "Hey, guy, we're down $1 million in sales, and it's only the 10th day of the month. What's going on here compared to the previous year?" And I'm racking my brains, like, every year we grew 20, 25%. How are we down $1 million second week in December? So I'm thinking maybe we had a longer Cyber 10. Sometimes, you know, it's on the 22nd, 23rd. Other times it's on the 26th, Thanksgiving. So maybe that caused it. I wasn't able to figure it out. So I started going through actually the sales data. First, I started sorting it by city, state, zip code. Then I sorted it by dollar amount. Then I sorted it by product line. And then I sorted it by brand. And lo and behold, I see that Canon, in particular, had like $3.5 million in sales in 5 days previous year. So I called up my purchasing agent and I said, "Hey, was there something with Canon last year?" And they go, "Oh, yeah, we had an instant rebate. If you bought one lens, you got $50. You bought two lenses, you got $150. You bought three lenses, you get $500. So it made a lot of sales. So he went back to the management team, and the management team says, "Oh, that makes sense. Canon didn't run a promo this year, so that's why we're down."
So you find out why, but what's the remedy? I mean, you can't really run promotions for Canon if you're not Canon.
Correct. And worse than that, we are authorized dealers for everything that we sell, and we must strictly abide by MAP. So we can't break minimum advertised price. So your question really is a good one. For someone who is an authorized dealer and stuck selling it at the price the manufacturer does, how do you move merchandise and still maintain the buy box? And the answer really is you have to maintain your metrics as best you can. Mm-hmm. Top rated seller plus, got to get your shipping out there. Customers complain, you got to handle the case right away. You can't let it sit and try to follow your rules. You have to have a really good service level agreement across all of your platforms. Has to be something that somebody's going to want to say, "I want to come back and shop there again."
Have you experienced growing pains around inventories?
So there are a couple of different things we did this year in particular. We knew that the Fitbit watches were going to sell really, really well this year. So we brought in twice as much inventory than we normally would bring in for such a product line. And nonetheless, we still sold out. But we had made an agreement with the distributor beforehand that on Monday, the 26th, we were going to call them up and tell them that we wanted more and they should hold 1,000 pieces for us. So they did that. They held 1,000 pieces for us, and we called them up on Monday, and we got them in. So not always can you make a deal with a distributor or a manufacturer to hold product. They'd rather have it out in the stores, but we did it. So that's just one tool in the box. A few years ago, we used to sell TVs. However, due to the shipping and transportation, a large number of them got damaged in transit. And it's not because we didn't pack them extra carefully. It's because the carriers really don't care. They toss these things around like they're footballs, and, yeah, and they damage. The other thing is we decide that we're going to self-insure, because if you think about paying $5, $10, $15 a box to an insurance company, to UPS Insurance, on 45 million packages a year, that's a lot of money. We didn't even have $100,000 in damage claims. But still, it was enough for us to turn around and say, you know what? Television is not a profitable line for us. So we actually deprecated the line of televisions.
Do you sell any TVs now?
Nope. We sell computer monitors, but I think the largest is 40 inches. On top of that, we had five or six brands of television, five or six models in each brand, and three or four sizes in each model. The sheer amount of warehouse space that took up was huge. So we also figured that we could bring in more products, 5,000 more SKUs, to take the same storage space those televisions took.
How did you know that Fitbit watches would be such a hot item this past holiday season?
Honestly, I can't answer that question. I'm not the purchasing agent involved with Fitbit. I'm assuming that somebody there at Fitbit told them that this is what's going to happen, so you better stock now. And you know, usually when a buyer says that to me, I usually say, ha ha, you just want us to stock their product. But I do some conference calls with focus groups, and it seemed like the new Alta HRs were going to sell really well this year, and it turns out that they did.
Yeah. So it pays to have these relationships with manufacturers, even if it means that you're kind of restricted as an authorized dealer, because they'll give you information to help increase your sales.
That is correct.
Well, Scott, this has been great. Before we go, what tips or advice would you give to someone who's starting on eBay or has been on eBay for a while and is struggling to get their inventory more productive, for example?
It's really hard because every vertical is different. If you're in clothing, shoes, and accessories, you know, you have one type of business. I really can only speak for electronics.
Sure.
And I really only know the business from an authorized dealer side.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing on any item is that the title is exactly what the item is. Don't add any extra special words like the word new or authorized or anything like that in the title. Just the exact keywords that make up the title. Make sure you have as many large, clear photos on white background as you can for that item. Most importantly, have a return policy. We tried it a few years ago with laptops that we had bought that were end of life, and we bought a few thousand refurbished directly from Microsoft. We put no returns on there because we didn't want the customers to return them to us. They have a 90-day return warranty with Microsoft. Normally, our daily deals, sometimes when the deals go live at 11 o'clock, they're sold out by 11:20. This item was up for 7 days, didn't sell. So the lesson from that was you have to have a return policy. Build it into your price if you have to, but if a customer wants to return it, they're going to return it. If you're trying to build your brand name as well, you don't want your brand name associated with, oh, I looked at one item, they don't take returns. I see that brand name again, I'm not going to buy from them because that one item that didn't have return, I don't know if they have other items that take returns or not. So always have a return policy, no matter what the item is.
Now, with these refurbished laptops, did you change the policy midstream to see if that would impact and increase sales?
We didn't do it during the deal. We waited 2 weeks and then we ran it again. And we put the return policy in, and it sold.
There you go. Proof is in the pudding.
Absolutely.
Scott, it's been great talking to you, and I hope to see you at eBay Open this year.
I will be there. Thank you, Griff.
Thanks, Scott. We've been speaking with Scott Brown, the manager for marketplaces over at Adorama, and you can find Adorama on eBay if you just search sellers for Adorama. That's Adorama. Coming up next, let's talk about traffic. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Brian Burke. Welcome to the Inside eBay segment, and today we're going to talk about buyer traffic. Buyer traffic is like oxygen for online sellers. Sellers would not survive without it. And here to talk buyer traffic is Julia Harrison, Product Manager, eBay Seller Hub. Welcome, Julia.
Thanks for bringing me on the show.
Tell us a little bit about your role, what you do here at eBay.
I'm one of the product managers looking after Seller Hub Performance Tab. I work closely with the software engineers, and part of my job is choosing which features we'll build to give sellers information to help grow their business on eBay.
Sellers, you can track and understand your traffic in the Performance Tab of Seller Hub. So if you're online right now, you can follow along. Go to ebay.com/sellerhub then click the Performance tab, then click the Traffic link. This page shows a list of active listings along with a few columns of data. Let's define our terms. Julia, what is traffic?
On the traffic page, we're looking at how people, so potential buyers, see and interact with your listings.
I can hear sellers now saying, okay, there's my traffic numbers, and they are high, or are they high, or are they low?
Well, that's all relative. It depends on a few factors. What you sell, demand for the item, search volume on your relevant keywords, that sort of thing. So don't think of it as a number you need to attain. It's a number you need to track over time so you can find out what's typical for your business.
So what about listing impressions? What are listing impressions?
A listing impression means a link to your listing appeared on eBay for someone to look at. So let's say you're selling red cotton t-shirts. If I type red cotton t-shirts into the search box, then when your listing appears on my search results page, that's one impression. There are other places you might get an impression, like a storefront or in the daily deals on the eBay homepage. But for most sellers, this means how often did my listing appear in search results.
And what about click-through rate? What does click-through rate mean?
Let's say I click on the link in search results to your red cotton t-shirt listing. That's one click-through. The click-through rate is the number of click-throughs divided by the number of impressions. If the link to your listing showed up 100 times and one person clicked, then that's a click-through rate of 1%.
Ah, so that's really, really helpful. And then what about the listing page view?
Oh, this one's easy for me to explain. This is just the number of times your listing page was viewed.
And so that means the buyer just looked at that, or they actually opened up and looked at the item that was listed.
That's right. It means they've opened up the item page.
And then what about sales conversion rate?
A sales conversion is a transaction where someone buys your item. So the sales conversion rate is the number of transactions divided by the number of listing page views. So if 20 people view your listing page and one of them buys your item, that would be a sales conversion rate of 5%.
And that's oftentimes where the sellers, as they're looking at their numbers, wonder if their numbers are high or low. That's good information for them.
And it really all does depend on the kind of items you're selling and what your buyers are looking for. It's not about knowing about a particular number at a point in time. It's really looking at your numbers over time and seeing how they change depending on how you change your listing.
Now that we know the basic definitions, how can we interpret this data? Let's look at a few scenarios. So scenario number one, what if we have high listing impressions but low click-through?
Well, that means that buyers saw your listing in a set of search results, but didn't find the listing attractive enough to click. Look at the elements of the listing that shows up in search results. To begin with your title, do you have all the right keywords? Make sure you include brand, gender, size, color, condition, if they're relevant. And think like a buyer when it comes to keywords that they would use to search for the item. And your main image, this is the one that shows up in search results, so you want it to draw people in. Could that be improved? Is it a bright, clear picture of the product on a white background? And of course, your price or shipping cost, are they too high?
And then let's look at another scenario. So what if you have a high click-through but low conversion?
That means buyers are clicking through to your listing page. We call it the view item page, but they're not buying. Here, you want to examine your listings and make sure you're following some best practices. So you'll want lots of bright, clear photos that show every aspect of the item, including any flaws, if that's relevant. A description that tells the buyer exactly what they're getting. And don't have paragraphs of the rules of buying from you. That's a real turnoff for buyers. Use item specifics so that buyers can more easily find your items in search, so things like size and color. Review your shipping. Is your shipping charge reasonable? And finally, compare your items to your competitors. Are they doing something differently to you that's enabling them to close the sale?
Those are some really good tips, especially the one around not having paragraphs of rules to buy from you as a seller. I've seen some listings where sellers do have like multiple paragraphs, and it interferes with the item description, essentially. Well, Julia, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Coming up next, a seller's email.
Audrey, it's time to pick an email out of the old inbox.
That's great. I love it. Okay, there it is. Was that how you wanted it?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. It's all those little staccato exclamations you make during an interview. I love them. This email came in from eBay seller Ann. Ann sent this to our sellingonebay@ebay.com email box. Audrey, would you read it, please?
Sure thing. This is Ann. Hello. I'm an eBay seller and have really been enjoying the podcast. I have a question I'd like to submit for a future episode regarding the new USPS zone calculated rates for first class shipping. I currently use Fast and Free with guaranteed delivery, and most of my items are first class. With the new rate increase, I need to raise my prices. I sell in a very competitive category. This is undoubtedly going to put some of my items priced higher than the competition using calculated shipping for certain buyers. Will I still get the same search results on my items in spite of this disadvantage? Could you address how eBay will protect the good search rank sellers get with free shipping when the new rates clearly disadvantage sellers using free shipping? Thank you. I'll be tuning in. Regards, Anne from Maryland.
Thanks, Anne.
So what do you think, Griff? Should Anne be concerned?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, there's an action she needs to take.
Which is what?
If her margins are thin and it's a competitive category and she's offering free shipping, she's folding the cost of shipping into her item price.
Yep.
She just needs to incrementally raise that price the same amount as the increase.
Got it. And that makes sense.
And then leave it alone. So Anne is making a thinking error, which I make all the time. So I'm not, you know, don't feel bad. But she's making a thinking error about how this rate increase impacts her. She thinks it's only impacting her.
Aha. Uh-huh.
The rate increase is for everyone, including your competition.
So they're going to have to raise prices as well, or build it into their free shipping.
Right. They're either going to, the three courses of action for your competition are leave it alone, and their margins are going to get slimmer.
Mm-hmm.
Add an increase into the item price if it's free shipping, which you're going to do. Or if there's sellers using calculated shipping, their calculated shipping is going to go up automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're using calculated shipping, on the very second of the day that the rate increase goes into effect, our shipping calculator is instantly updated so that it reflects the new rates. So you really don't have anything to worry about your competition. And all you need to worry about is, do I need to adjust my item prices for free shipping items so that my margins don't disappear?
Right.
And you don't have to worry after that.
Now, what about the search rank?
So if you're offering free shipping in a best match sort, free shipping gets a very slight boost compared to other items.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only one part of that algorithm. There are many other parts. And in fact, it is not the most important one. What do you know what the most important one is?
Gosh, now you're putting me on the...
Begins with a P, ends with an E, and it's something you...
Rice?
Need. Yes. Price.
Price.
Price is the number one top level part of the algorithm, followed by things like relevance, and then listing quality,
mm-hmm.
and then things like, does it offer free returns? Is maybe free shipping? But free shipping is a very small part of that. So I wouldn't worry about your search rank. There's no need for it to be quote unquote protected.
Right.
It'll be fine. All you need to do, your call of action, is determine whether or not you need to raise your prices on your free shipping items to absorb that increase.
Makes
remember,
sense.
It's a percentage increase. It's not, you know, not a set dollar amount.
Right.
So there you go. Thanks, Anne, for that question.
Okay. We hope that answers your question, Anne. Thanks.
Yeah, I think it did.
If you have a question you would like us to address here on the podcast, you can either email it to sellingonebay@ebay.com or...
You can call it into us at 888-723-4630. Just dial that number, 888-723-4630. And then there'll be some prompts. Make sure you follow them, and then you can leave your question or your comment and your details.
Coming up next, it's time for the outro.
The outro. That's radio talk for coda, which is musical talk for the end of the piece.
Sheesh. And you accuse me of being erudite.
No, I think you accused me.
Earlier. Oh, okay. Well, I can't keep it straight.
Coming up next, the outro. And that's our show for this week. We hope you found it informative.
I know I did. Thanks for listening this week. And don't forget to join us next week when our theme will be Your Time is Money.
Ah, so I'm about 10 minutes late. Can I have 10 bucks?
That's not how it works.
Well, don't forget our number, by the way.
Of course. If you want to join in the fun here on Selling on eBay, you can be part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630.
Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Are you a shy person?
Who, me?
A wallflower?
Nope.
The ultimate introvert.
Yeah, right.
Are you scared to death by the sound of your own voice? But you still want to ask a question or state a comment? Relax. Shy persons can submit their questions or comments to us at our very own email address. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
And continuing the rhetorical questions, are your social skills atrophying due to a lack of engagement with your fellow human beings?
No.
Does your dog, Daisy, look at you as if to say, geez, are you ever going to go out for a few hours and leave me in peace?
No.
Are you sick to death of winter?
No.
Okay, then never mind. Well, you should throw on your big quilted parka and your woolly toque and your galoshes and trudge on down to the local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, and best practices for success on eBay, all over a little beverage, a little nosh. It's lots of fun. And you can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. You'll want to go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness.
And that's our show for this week. Audrey, pull that lever over there and start the credits rolling, would you?
Sure thing, Griff. Presenting the Selling on eBay podcast team. Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager, Alan Aisbit.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Co-host, that's you, Griff.
Scriptwriter and Co-host, that's you, Audrey Tracy.
That's me. Download and listen every week to the Selling on eBay podcast for the leg up your business on eBay needs to compete and prosper in the coming year. We'll see you next week with a fresh new episode of Selling on eBay.
Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Nicely done.
I could say the same for you. We couldn't do this without you. You know you're special.
I need a raise.
But we could do this without you.
All of a sudden.